Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman, here with Carl Orzechowski, doing the news today. I'm sure co-hosting to some extent as well. Lamia teching for us today and all around being a fabulous person. I came in with a lot of stress because we had some technical problems. And it all looks like it's worked out, so I'm very pleased.
That stress will kill you, man.
I know. So we're going to do some meditating here on Animal Voices. Before I turn the news over to you, I should let people know that at about quarter after, we will be connecting with folks from the Toronto Vegetarian Association to find out about the huge food festival that's going on in the next few days. We're going to find out all about the different presenters that are going on, some of the different cooking classes, some of the speakers that will be speaking not just on vegetarian nutrition, but a whole host of issues, probably very relevant to a lot of people thinking about global warming and diet, considering, you know, there's all that hype right now about the new Al Gore film. Is it still new? I don't know.
It is still new.
And so people are talking about that, but there aren't necessarily a lot of, public dialogue about the food that we eat, our consumption patterns, and how it relates to global warming. So I know that there's going to be someone at the Vegetarian Food Fair talking about that, so that'll be good too. But before we jump into our conversation with the TVA people, we will hear from Carl bringing us the news.
Okay, so I apologize in advance if the news sounds a little bit breathless today, because I just biked my butt over here and I'm a little bit out of breath. So this first story...
Breathless ain't bad.
Breathless. This first story comes to us courtesy of a good friend of ours named Krishna, and it's actually through her, courtesy of Reuters. Hedgehogs have finally humbled burger giant McDonald's after years of campaigning, forcing the company to redesign its killer McFlurry ice cream containers. Up to now, the opening in the container has been large enough for hedgehogs to get their heads into for a lick of the leftover dessert. A trap that they have been unable to withdraw from, so dying of starvation in untold numbers. Wow. But from September 1st, the wide-mouthed opening in the lid of the McFlurry containers will be reduced in size, making them too small for the sugar-loving animals to get their heads into. Quote, "This is excellent. It is long overdue news," said Faye Vass, chief executive of the British Hedgehog Preservation Society. "We have been in touch with McDonald's about this problem for over 5 years and are delighted that they have at last solved the problem." McDonald's said in a statement the design change had resulted from pressure from the society, which prompted, quote, "significant research and design testing" to develop new packaging. You know, like just making the hole smaller.
Right. Sounds complicated.
Yeah. "The smaller aperture of the lid has been designed to prevent hedgehogs from entering the McFlurry container in the unfortunate incidence that a lid is littered and is then accessible to wildlife." From the Ottawa Citizen, Canada's fisheries minister is trying to shame Belgian officials into backing away from banning the importation of Canadian seal products. Currently visiting that country, Loyola Hearn told officials pondering the ban that before they are swayed by, quote, unquote, blood on the ice during seal hunts, they should first consider the, quote, unquote, blood shed by Canadians and Newfoundlanders in Belgium and France during World War I. Seriously. These Canadians who came here and fought for your liberation, the least you owe them is to make your decisions based upon fact. He said the majority of information being provided to European politicians as a whole has traditionally come from anti-sealing groups. Animal rights activists, however, are angered by Mr. Hearn's attempt to tie seal hunting to the sacrifices made by Canadian soldiers. Rebecca Aldworth, a native Newfoundlander and spokeswoman for the Humane Society of the United States, said the comments aren't realistic or acceptable. Quote, "His attempts to tie the seal hunt to all Canadians and therefore assume the people who died in the war would have endorsed the hunt today, it's a bit of a stretch," she said. Another story coming to us from Meeting Place, that's M-E-A-T-I-N-G, meetingplace.com. Miami-based Burger King Holdings Incorporated is being sued in California Superior Court for allegedly failing to warn customers that its flame-broiled burgers could contain a cancer-causing agent. The July 24th lawsuit focuses on polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Say that 10 times fast.
Let me try it. No.
Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, chemicals formed by the incomplete burning of organic substances, charbroiled burgers included. Burger King indicated in its annual report to the Securities and Exchange Commission. California law recognizes the chemical as a possible carcinogen or reproductive toxicant in humans. Burger King said it might have to pay penalties and injunctive relief if it is found liable. The filing didn't provide the amount of damages sought. Similar lawsuits were filed against Burger King, Oak Brook, Illinois-based burger chain, McDonald's Corp., and others in 2002 and 2005 for allegedly failing to warn customers that French fries contained acrylamide, a chemical some studies associated with cancer. Next, coming from Stuff.com, scientists studying kidney stone disease have stumbled across evidence that humans may be genetically more suited to vegetarianism than meat eating. The discovery was made when the placement of an enzyme known as AGT, which is linked to the rare kidney stone disease PH1, was found in one area of the liver in herbivores and another in carnivores. Professor Chris Danpuer of University College of London said yesterday. Evolutionary science indicated that about 10 million years ago, the distribution of the enzyme in human ancestors appeared to change from favoring an omnivorous diet to plant eating. Humans began eating meat only in the past 100,000 years, a habit which has increased dramatically in recent times. It would appear that the diet we have now is incompatible with the distribution of this enzyme, which was designed for a herbivorous diet, not meat eating, he said. Coming from entertainmentwise.com, you know it's going to be good. Madonna has been severely criticized by animal welfare organizations for importing 1,000 baby pheasants from France. And I think this may be some editorializing, but just so she can shoot their brains out. although that is true.
So was that? Do you think that that was something that was written in there?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
Although that would be what she planned to do with them.
Yes.
Shoot their brains out. Okay, so although Madge and her director hubby, Guy Ritchie, have quit shooting birds on their estate, it is still regarded as one of the best sites for shooting in the UK, and they regularly allow their celebrity friends to kill there.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Come on over. You can shoot some pheasants, you know, we'll catch up.
Yeah, let's hang out and shoot some birds.
Hey. Animal rights campaigners have slammed Madonna for her actions. Andrew Tyler, director of Animal Aid, said, "Shame on Madonna. She thinks that when she puts on her plus fours, she is part of the lady gentry." I'm not sure what that means. But this is not harmony with nature. It is the production of factory birds to provide a live shooting gallery. A spokeswoman for Madonna said, something people already knew, quote, "Both Madonna and Guy have stopped shooting," unquote. "We can confirm that the estate got 1,000 birds from France as an experiment this year, but we won't do it again." And this is a big one. This is a press release from the HSUS.
Which is the Humane Society of the United States.
Right. Two of the nation's top animal protection organizations announced today that they are joining forces in a corporate combination that will result in increased public policy activity and coordination on animal welfare issues and further streamline operations among national animal advocacy groups. Quote, "The Humane Society of the United States is delighted to join with the Doris Day Animal League to create an even more powerful voice for animals," said Wayne Pacell, HSUS president and CEO. "I have been an admirer of Doris Day and her organization for many years, and it is a privilege now to be able to work so closely with her and her organization." The combination follows the HSUS merger with the Fund for Animals in 2005, which was formed in 1967 by author Cleveland Amory, and the group's recent hiring of former United Animal Nations President Jennifer Fearing and Compassion Over Killing leaders Mi-Yun Park and Paul Shapiro. "Our members often wonder why groups and individuals with a common purpose do not join together, and we are heeding their call to do just that." Legendary actress and Presidential Medal of Freedom honoree Doris Day founded the Doris Day Animal League in 1987 to work on animal welfare legislation at the federal, state, and local levels. DDAL, the Doris Day Animal League, has more than 180,000 members and supporters and has worked over the years for the passage of bills to end the sale of videos that depict animal cruelty, such as fetish animal crush videos, and to require the use of alternatives to animal tests. It has strongly backed efforts to end the slaughter of horses for human consumption and worked to pass laws in the states to regulate the sale of puppies, requiring counseling for animal abusers, and reduce or eliminate animal testing for cosmetics. The DDAL has partnered successfully with the HSUS on many issues over the years, including aid for Hurricane Katrina victims, greyhound racing, animal testing, and the addition of bittering agents to antifreeze to protect children and animals. The Doris Day Animal League combination paves the way for increased public policy activity by the HSUS affiliate, the Humane Society Legislative Fund, by combining the existing organization's membership and donor support with the DDAL. Quote, there is no other group like the Humane Society of the United States, Day said. We are very enthusiastic about being part of this organization and combining our resources to help the animals. It's very interesting news.
Great. And those news stories were brought to us by Rob Moore, but he was unable to make it to the show today. And I hope that he's feeling better. He has a big day ahead of him with 3 fitness classes I think he's going to be leading. So,
also, thank you, Rob, for getting a piece of information in there. This is funny, and he's probably not listening, but my current flame, heart flame, is not a vegan. And there's that piece of information there, because I'm always looking for science-y facts for him to be like, yeah, you say you're supposed to be a carnivore? Oh, yeah? Well, here's this. So thanks, Rob, if you're listening out there, for that piece of information that I will take back to my sweetie, and we'll continue our ongoing debate.
Your propaganda campaign.
Yeah, because really I'm just trying to convert the world.
So I wanted to let people know before we go to some music that we also do archives of all of our programs, and they are available on our website for free download at animalvoices.ca, animalvoices, all one word, .ca. People can also write us if you have any questions or comments or ideas for upcoming shows. You can write us at animalvoices@ciut.fm. We'd love to hear from you. Also, Rob has very kindly put up a survey on the Animal Voices website, and it's feedback from our listeners about the direction of the show. We've gotten lots of interesting comments already. We'd love it if you took a moment to fill out the survey. It shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes. We'll definitely inform how we continue to run the show. And so there's a chance for you to put in your feedback about the types of programs that you like and the ones that you don't like so much. So, again, our website is animalvoices.ca. We're going to do a little bit of music, maybe. And then we're going to come back and find out about the Toronto Vegetarian Association Food Fair, food festival, vegetarian festival that's happening. We're going to be speaking with Michael Chambers from the TVA. He is the food fair coordinator. Please stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM, www.ciut.fm over the internet. Thanks for bringing us the music, Carl.
Yeah, no, you bring us great
bringing
tunes.
The noise.
Bringing you the jams.
So yeah. Now we're connecting with Michael. He's the food fair coordinator with the Toronto Vegetarian Association. Michael, thank you for being on the program today.
No, thank you for having me.
So tell us about the food fair. I'm not even sure if I'm using the technical name right. I know it's like the annual food fair. What number are we at?
This is the 22nd annual vegetarian food fair.
Wow. That is a lot of organizing over the years.
It is.
I was feeling tired thinking about how tired you guys must be right now. This is the crunch time, I guess.
It seems that, yeah, whenever we work on the food fair, Labor Day weekend is never a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but things are looking good. It's coming up, obviously, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what do you want to know?
I'll just start plying you with questions. So let's pretend that I've never gone before and never gorged myself on the food.
Okay.
Let's pretend that I've never gone before. So what do you tell somebody who's maybe never gone before and isn't a vegetarian? Is there something for them there? And how do you go and where do you start?
Well, there's it doesn't matter if you're vegetarian or not. In fact, about half of the visitors that come through are not vegetarian. So if you're not a vegetarian, you won't feel intimidated or that, you're in a different world or something like that. But it's a great place just to come down and just wander around, take a look at all the exhibits. We've got everything from people with natural food stores promoting their stores to non-leather shoes to packaged vegetarian health bars and things like that. And, of course, there's what we call the Vegetarian World Cafe, which is a great place to get a meal. And if you're adventurous, we've got, Indian food, we've got Asian fusion cuisine, and for the less adventurous, you can still pick up a veggie burger.
Right.
So there's certainly lots there, and if you just want to look around, we also have the hourly cooking demos going on. There's a lot happening, and I would just say if this is your first time and, you've never been to the fair, just come down and wander around, talk to anyone wearing a green Toronto Vegetarian Association t-shirt, and they should be able to tell you where things are if you're looking for something. And
I want to make sure that we plug this in a number of times in this conversation. So where is it and what are the hours?
Okay, yeah. It is happening at Harbourfront Center, which is 235 Queens Quay West in Toronto.
Okay.
And on Friday, we open at 4 p.m., so it's an after-school thing. Don't come early or unless you want to watch us set up. So we're open 4 to 9 on Friday, 11 to 8 on Saturday, and 11 to 6 on Sunday.
Okay. And what about the website? I guess that would be a good thing to talk about as well, just
yeah,
for people want more information.
Exactly. And that's www.veg.ca/foodfair.
What about getting there? Is it relatively accessible for people? I know that I've always taken the streetcar down, and that hasn't been a problem.
That's the way I go, too, actually.
Okay.
Getting there on the streetcar is probably the easiest thing. Either the 510 or 509 streetcars from Union Station, or the 510 coming down from Spadina Station as well. Just make sure it's not a short turning at King.
Okay.
But it's a great way, and there is lots of parking for those that are coming from out of town. And
there's lots of bike parking as well for
yeah.
people who want to go. One of the things I've always found when I've gone is that there's a lot of opportunity to waste stuff if you want to. So it's great if people bring like Tupperware containers, because I know that you end up walking around and then you want a munchie. And so if you have your own reusable stuff, that's great as well.
Yeah, we do encourage that. In fact, yeah, every year on our flyer, we always say bring your own reusable. Because, yeah, it's certainly there's the possibility that we could create a lot of garbage, and anything we can do to reduce that is great. So,
and these the grounds are quite big. Like, it's always surprising just the enormity of this project, because for people who haven't gone before, it does stretch. How many people are going to be at tables, or how many official groups are there going to be representing?
There are going to be over, I can't remember the exact, it's either 106 or 105, different vendor locations.
Mm.
We basically take over Harbourfront Center. Pretty much every tent, every interior venue they have, we use it. So there's certainly lots to discover, from commercial people to community groups and other like animal rights organizations or religious groups.
So tell us about some of the specifics. We know that there's going to be different communities represented there, but there's also events and there's cooking shows.
Yeah.
So what are some of the specifics? Who are the people that are going to be there, and what are the things that they're going to be speaking about?
Okay. Well, probably one of the big name people biggest name people that are coming through is T. Colin Campbell, who is the author of the China Study, which was the big they basically looked at the eating habits of 6,500 people in China over the course of like 20 years, and compared those dietary patterns with Americans, and looked at how that affected their health. Anyway, it was a big project, and he's basically going to come and talk about his title of his talk is Debunking the Science of Nutrition. So talking about what you can do, what really makes sense. I don't know. I'm not doing
it. Well, one of the things we had him on the program, and it was such a cool show.
Oh, great.
One of the things that I really like about him is that he didn't walk into the study being an advocate necessarily of vegetarianism or veganism, and then, he was startled by some of the conclusions that he was drawing, and so he doesn't have to necessarily deal with that same criticism that a lot of people who work on vegetarian and vegan issues and are interested in the diet for a number of reasons he doesn't necessarily have to deal with some of those critiques, because he was coming from just a purely scientific background, not necessarily interested in vegetarianism and veganism, and then found out that this was actually a much healthier way to live.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The initial part of the study was just to look at what foods in general, as the information rolled in, it became clearer and clearer that the fewer animal products you ate, the better your chances of not getting cancer or heart disease. Like that.
So people, yeah, if people want to have a little teaser before they go to the food fair, it's always fun to like listen to somebody on the program and then be able to actually meet them in person. And I've always felt when I've gone to the vegetarian food fair that people are very friendly and willing to meet you. And if you want to shake their hand or get a book signed or something like that, I assume that that will probably still be a possibility.
Yeah.
So yeah, people can check out our interview and then go and see him actually speak, which would be very cool.
And so, I'll just mention now too, he's only speaking once. On Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Okay. So he's a kind of a big headliner. Who else is going to be?
We also have Beverly Edwards Miller, who is one of the leaders of the CHIP program in Ontario, which is the Coronary Health Improvement Project.
Okay.
And she's going to talk about basically a lot of the same kind of health issues. And her thing is, what's eating you? And kind of looking at how basically the foods you eat have such a huge impact on just how you feel, and basically you're eating excess fat and sugar and caffeine, you're going to stress your body. And basically the healthier you eat, the healthier you feel, and the better you're going to actually be able to deal with things, both from a psychological and physical perspective.
So an overall health kind of picture. Good. She sounds interesting.
She's speaking on Friday night and again on Sunday.
Okay. So there's lots of, definitely it sounds like there's lots of information for people who want to do vegetarianism and veganism well and feel healthy, because I know so often on this program and just friends of mine who are vegan in particular talk about, you know, I had a friend who was vegan but they didn't feel well, and then people often attribute that to the diet rather than necessarily maybe not getting all the nutrients that they need, etc. So it sounds like these people will really be able to give some guidance on how to do this diet well and feel good and thrive on it.
Exactly. And also, I mean, we are also doing some more stuff like out in the big square down Ann Tyndall Square. We're having both on Saturday and Sunday Jiva Mukti, the yoga studio is coming down and going to do a demonstration on the lawn. So definitely encourage people, anyone who's either, you know, has some experience or no experience and just wants to kind of actually get out and do some yoga on the ground, which is where you're supposed to do it, definitely to check that out as well.
And so, and also Steve Leckie is doing a talk as well.
Yes, he is. He's doing a talk, The Inconvenient Truth About the Food We Eat, basically looking at a lot of the environmental impact of animal-based agriculture.
Mm. And he's involved with the TVA, right?
Yes, he is. He's actually he's the guy that puts together our vegetarian directory.
Mm. And how many people are? I know that the vegetarian directory reaches thousands and thousands of people each year.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people are expected to come to the fair?
Each year it's somewhere around 15,000 people.
Oh, okay.
It's a big event, and of course we don't have tickets or anything, so we don't have an exact number, but
right, because this is free.
It's free, exactly. In fact, all the events, everything I mentioned, if you want to go see T. Colin Campbell speak, it's free.
Okay.
Every event we have, so.
Very cool.
The only thing you have to buy are the books,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, any other products. Although we have lots of free samples.
That sounds good. There's always kind of interesting ice cream treats that are vegan there, and like lots of things that are really decadent.
Yeah, the list is, I mean, I get lost in it. I mean, as I say, I have over 100 vendors that are going to be there, and it's just the scope and just the variety of products is amazing. So I just encourage people to come down and just take a look and explore.
So tell us about the philosophy behind this vegetarian food fair. Why do it in this way?
Well, it's an open forum. People are welcome. For one thing, I mean, one of the mandates is to keep it free so that people can just come in, they can learn, and people can take things as they want. It's not like where we just have one lecture and it's about one topic. You can come and hear about whether it's a health issue, an environmental issue, animal rights issues, learn about those things, and then get an opportunity to see all of the products and services that are available to help you, you know, if you're looking to move from a meat-centered diet to a vegetarian diet. You have basically all these resources at your fingertips. And it just is a great way to introduce people to the diet. And also for anyone who is vegetarian, it's an opportunity to celebrate that and go somewhere where you can pretty much eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are, I think we're all familiar with the, you know, looking at the three things on the menu at the restaurant that we can eat. And so this is an opportunity to basically say, hey, come on down, let's celebrate this, and have everyone be able to eat everything and find some new and exciting products.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I always find like it's the opportunity not to feel like a freak for a while. You know, there's a lot of people around and it's just so uplifting to see that there's so many people who are interested in looking at these issues. And it's always a great opportunity to kind of network and realize that, especially in Toronto too, there's a really strong vegetarian community here, mm-hmm. but there aren't necessarily tons of spaces where people get to see each other so regularly and have those conversations. So that's lots of fun as well. So tell us, I'm curious if you'll give us a bit of background about the TVA and about your involvement, just because as a fellow activist, I'm always curious about how people pull something like this off and what gets people involved in organizing. So if you could tell us about yourself and the TVA, that would be great.
Okay, well, let's see. I mean, I've been involved in different capacities with Toronto Vegetarian Association for the last 9 years now. When I moved to Toronto in 96, I guess, is when I first heard about them. And my partner, Kathleen, got a job as the coordinator of the fair, and I was basically working as a volunteer for a number of years. And I got more and more involved. I'm also the editor of the newsletter here at Toronto Vegetarian Association. And as it turns out, things have moved around, and Kathleen is now working as the executive director, the big picture person, and so I sort of came in to fill that gap and take care of the food fair this year.
Mm. So what inspired you to start learning about these issues in such an in-depth way?
Well, it actually started about 10 years ago this year. This is the story of why I became a vegetarian, really, because it had a big impact on me. I had a summer job at a historic site in Midland, and there were a couple of cows that we had, and they were basically just there for the tourists to come and see and say, hey, look, they had cows in the 17th century. And one day in August, I remember hearing that the cows were going to get slaughtered. And I thought, why? You know, like, it didn't make sense to me. Like, I thought, they're happy. They had personalities. One of them liked people, one of them didn't.
Mm.
And and I remember that day leaving work, and I just happened to be leaving at the same time that they were getting trying to get the cows onto the truck. And after seeing that, I just thought, I can't eat meat. Mm-hmm. And it was basically just a total turning point. So after that, it was a matter of I got involved with TVA shortly thereafter, learned about a bunch of the other health benefits and environmental issues as well and all these things. And the more involved I got, the more involved I got, I guess is the best way to put it.
Hmm. This is the thing, too, about the vegetarian food fair that I really appreciate, is that everybody starts somewhere, right? And so, you know, you never know where that turning point is going to happen. And I find for myself, I've been vegan for about a decade now, and sometimes it seems like I've always known what nutritional yeast was, and I've always known what the best brand of soy milk was, or where to, you know, get whatever alternative product, or, you know, or know about the environmental consequences of meat eating, etc. And I think it's really humbling and a good idea for these types of events to happen, because you realize, like, it's important to talk with people who have done this for a long time, but also to recognize that we all did start with those initial questions and I'm going to make this choice and how do I actually go about doing it, you know. And I think that the Vegetarian Food Fair does such a good job of, like, holding people's hand in those first stages and helping them sustain it and do it well.
That's really the big points of the fair, is just to introduce people and support them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, educate, celebrate, and support. Those are sort of like the three main things. Everything at the food fair relates back to one of those words.
Is there going to be films this year as well? I know in the past that there's been different films.
This year we're not having films. However, Harold Brown will be in town on Friday, who is one of the main people in Peaceful Kingdom. We're not going to be showing the film, but he will be talking.
Okay. And he's such a compelling speaker, too.
Mm-hmm.
For people who haven't seen Peaceful Kingdom, it's really worth seeing. It's a film done by the same folks who did The Witness, Tribe of Heart People. And it's such a moving film. And his story is also just so inspiring. He was actually a farmer for a while, right?
That's correct.
So he went on to, not only sort of have a turning point that you mentioned, but, you know, kind of give up some of his farming as well. So he has quite an interesting perspective.
Exactly, and that's basically what he's going to be talking about, that journey, like basically going from growing up on a farm and then learning about, you know, the way that animals got treated at factory farms and how, you know, the whole cycle and how basically things are very different than they once were, and it's definitely the way to go.
Mm-hmm. I think that it seems to me that there's a sense from a lot of people that farming has changed and that industrialization has influenced agriculture, but often we don't really know the nitty-gritty, I find. And it's also really scary to think, like, if I started learning about how cows were treated or where the, you know, my pork chops come from, if I understood those food systems, that I might have to change, and that becomes very scary and very big. So people like Harold Brown, you know, his journey with it and his direct experiences, I find, just very inspiring, and to let people know that although it seems overwhelming in the beginning, and although you might feel ostracized in the beginning, that there's more people out there that can help you with that transition.
And he brings it to the personal level, too, that, you know, it's not just this big void. It's, you know, here's some, you know, I'm someone that went through this, and I saw this, and I can do it, so.
Yep. That's another thing, too. So often activists are accused of not really knowing what was going on, or they're seen as propagandists who are just, you know, interested in converting people and not really fact-based, etc. So these types of people are so important to have to represent this movement as well. So I want to make sure, again, just for people who are tuning in halfway through the program, that we are speaking right now with Michael from the Toronto Vegetarian Association. He's the food fair coordinator this year. And I'm going to ask you to give us the information again about where it is and what the days are.
Okay, for sure. It is coming up this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is September 8, 9, and 10. It's happening at Harborfront Center, which is down at 235 Queens Quay West. And it's very accessible by streetcar, either the 509 or 510 streetcar from Union Station, or via bike, or if you're coming from out of town, via car. It is happening, so Friday from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And our website is probably a great place to find out more specifics, certainly far more than we can go through on the radio. It's www.veg.ca. That's veg.ca.
Your word accessible prompted me to think about accessibility in terms of disability issues. Are the grounds fairly accessible?
The entire site is wheelchair accessible, yes.
Okay, that's good. And the washrooms and things like that as well.
Yeah.
Great. So, Michael, we're probably going to just be wrapping up now. Is there anything I forgot to mention that you wanted to talk about?
I think we've hit everything very, very well.
Okay, well, thanks for your work. I imagine that this is going to be a few days with not enough sleep. So good luck with that.
All right, thank you very much.
I assume you have a good crew of people that you're working with.
Oh, yeah. Our office staff as well as all the volunteers, basically. Yeah, I mean, obviously, one person cannot do this job.
How many people does it take to pull this off?
It turns out to be about, from Toronto Vegetarian Association's perspective, about 150 people.
Wow.
Total, throughout the, leading up to and throughout the weekend.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, we'll see you there.
All right, thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, bye-bye.
We were just speaking with Michael Chambers. He's the food fair coordinator for the Toronto Vegetarian Association. Check it out. It's lots of fun. And, yeah, bring your Tupperware because I know there's a lot of food to be had as well.
Yes.
As you're wandering around and talking to people at the various different booths and checking out the speakers and all that good stuff.
The food is amazing. I went for the first time last year. This is on a personal note. I went for the first time ever last year, and I had so many delicious soy treats. So many, just so much goodness.
I wonder if this year I should have asked Michael this, because there's always the Tofutti Cutie section.
Totally.
And it's like, there's Tofutti Cuties, which...
Do I know it? Oh, my goodness.
They're really inexpensive. They do this promotional thing for the Vegetarian Food Fairy, so you can go and like get a Tofutti Cutie, which is an ice cream sandwich, or a Marry Me Bar, I think they're called, which are dipped in chocolate.
There's also the Sweets from the Earth stuff, who do make those fabulous carrot cakes and chocolate cakes, and they're really cheap,
using
too.
Using Tofutti cream cheese.
Oh, dreamy.
Awesome.
So we're in heaven.
So, yeah, so check it out. And so, unfortunately, Animal Voices doesn't have a booth there this year, but I'm sure you'll see some of us milling around. If you want to know what we look like, you can check out our website, animalvoices.ca. There's a new picture of us as well. So definitely check
it out.
Do
we look gorgeous, darling?
I think we look all right.
Good.
I'm looking forward to the vegetarian food fair. I think one thing that we forgot to mention was that there is also a stage, and there are bands that play, and my band isn't playing this year, but maybe we'll play next year.
There's two vegans in your band.
Yes, and...
And there's only two members, so it's 100%.
100%. But last year there were some good acts, and there's also all sorts of... apart from the yoga and the health stuff and the food and the booths, there's all sorts of cool little sort of spontaneous events that happen that are more arty. There was like a...
You know, it was really cool last year. Sorry to cut you off.
No problem.
All those veggie kids did their performances last year. And they were
acting
wicked.
Creatively kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were awesome.
They were awesome. They were so... They just looking at them gave me cavities.
Because they're so sweet.
They're so sweet. And they were all wearing these, like, you know, t-shirts that exclaimed their vegetarianism. It was ridiculously adorable.
And they're smart kids. It's cool. I mean, not the kids. I'm like, wow, they're smart and they're kids. But they're cool, like confident, cool kids. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. I had a good time.
I mean, if you want to get decked out in all the vegetarian
if memorabilia, you feel like dressing up like a zucchini, go ahead.
There's just different ways that you can participate. You can buy a lot of stuff. There's a lot of really cool products. Steve Fish does Left Feet. This is who Michael mentioned would be there. I'm sure that's who's going to be there. Does vegetarian shoes. I think maybe Adam might be there from Downbound. He does vegetarian clothing as well. So if you want to walk away with the full vegan ensemble, you can do that as well. It's just a lot of fun.
So. I got a very cool belt there last year that I have on today, which you listeners can't see, but maybe you can go get your own.
Yeah,
but,
definitely would suggest bringing money, too, because it's always kind of a pain. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if people will be doing... I don't think people doing Interact, you might be able to do credit card, but cash is definitely the way to go. And if you think, I'm not going to buy anything...
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
Unless you don't have any money, then you really won't buy anything, but you'll get lots of free stuff.
The TVA, for people who are into books like myself, the TVA always does a great table of new books and old classics. If you're interested in getting a good vegetarian cookbook or the latest information about how vegetarianism relates to health issues or the health of the planet or the health of animals, there's always great books to buy as well. So,
I know that we mentioned this, but if you don't have any money, there is so much free stuff. It is awesome. And it is free. All of the events are free.
And there's a lot of cheap stuff as well.
So many great little food samples. You can eat the food samples till you're full, for sure. Which, you know, support the companies and whatever, but you can also eat till you're full if you want to. So I guess we're going to end off the show.
I wanted to ask you quickly, too, if you could plug an upcoming show, because I know we already have that organized, and it's great to give people a teaser.
Jan Thornhill, author of the books I Found a Dead Bird and Folk Tales, Animal Folk Tales from Around the World, will be on the show September 19th. She's going to be talking about, we're going to be talking with her about children's literature. And animals.
It's going to be a fun show. We're also going to be speaking with Stephen Best and some other folks who contributed to the anthology Igniting a Revolution, which is about environmentalism and to some extent animal activism as well, and sort of the more radical arm of the movement. So that's going to be coming up in late September or early October. We're still trying to nail down the dates. Again, our website, animalvoices.ca. Thanks so much for Carl coming in, reading the news, getting that stuff together. Lamia for teching. listening and being here as well.
And thanks to Lauren for being a fabulous, gorgeous host.
So that's 11 happening here. Anyway, thanks to listeners too for listening, and everybody's hopefully going to hook up at the Vegetarian Food Fair. We'd love to see people, and if you are a fan of the show or if you have suggestions for the show, do come talk to us. I'll definitely be there. I have red hair, and I don't know if other distinguishing features. I'll be wearing my glasses.
I'll be there. I have long brown hair, and I'm covered in tattoos.
Yeah, you can't miss Lamia. And also stay tuned for Roadrunner.